Now tonight, let's turn together for this message in the 9th chapter of John. Last Sunday, I dealt with the 8th chapter, and we had a very significant outline. What the Jews thought about themselves, and what the Jews thought about Christ, and then what Jesus thought about the Jews, and what Christ thought about himself. But this story here, this part of the scripture, is woven about a miracle. The miracle was very simple. It was a man who was born without eyes. The fixtures of his eyes were imperfect at birth, and he never had seen. And nobody ever thought he ever would see, because they just weren't there to see. He was born blind. And this man had his eyes healed by the Son of God, and he went and bathed, as the Lord told him, and he received his sight. And we are confronted here, as you shall see, with these Jews who are determined that they will not believe in Jesus Christ. They are absolutely determined. It makes no difference what proof, what evidence, what miracles, what signs. They are absolutely determined that they will not believe in Jesus Christ. Consequently, they find themselves in some very embarrassing and contradictory positions. The Jews require a sign. They're always asking signs. And yet here was a supreme miracle, whereby a man who didn't have eyes, they weren't there when he was born, the Son of God took some spittle and put it on the ground and made a clay out of it and pasted it on the man's eyes and told him to go bathe. And he did it. And when he finished, his eyes were perfectly formed and he was able to see. And you have in the 9th chapter the rejection of light, the rejection of a miracle, the rejection of the truth. And at the same time, you have the glorious exaltation of Jesus Christ. And when you get to the close of this 9th chapter, will you look, please, at the close of this 9th chapter? We find the Lord Jesus coming to the man who has been finally cast out. And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Jesus Christ had asked, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he, Lord?" And then Jesus said, "Here I am. I am the Son of God." And then we read in verse 38, "Lord, I believe." And then he worshiped. And Jesus then utters these words, and this 39th verse is the key to the entire chapter. And Jesus said, "For judgment came I into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And the Jewish leaders, who were supposed to see, became blind. They were so blinded that they couldn't even accept a miracle, the evidence of which was completely beyond dispute. They were so blinded that they couldn't even behold the light of the Son of God, who came and says that I am the light of the world. Darkness had so laid hold upon their eyes and upon their minds that they couldn't see. But here was a man who was born physically blind. Here was a man who was spiritually blind. But the Lord enabled him to see physically. He got a new pair of eyes. And the Lord enabled him to see spiritually because he accepted the Son of God and was saved. Oh, this 9th chapter is a chapter in which the Jews are just determined that they will not accept this one Christ as their Messiah. And everything else has to conform to their unbelief. Everything else has to adjust itself to their determination that they will not receive the light. And oh, what fools they make of themselves. Oh, how ridiculous they become in the presence of evidence which is beyond all dispute and all question. But I want you to see that they take out their hatred of the Son of God upon the man who's just had a new pair of eyes given him. Why, you'd think they'd been so happy that this man got some new eyes and the Lord gave him sight and everybody in town rejoicing that this man has been born blind, all of a sudden he can see anything and everything and he's just singing and so happy. Even the ungodly Jews ought to be happy that somebody got their sight. But no, they hate the Lord so much that they take out their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this one. And notice, as you run down through these passages here, you'll see the things that they said. And if you'll notice verse 28, then they reviled him. They reviled the blind man who just got his eyes back. Why shouldn't you revile somebody that's just got his sight back? Everybody ought to be applauding and happy, rejoice. This man's been healed. A great wonder's been performed. They reviled him. And then you come on down in the 34th verse, and we read here, then answered they and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They abused the man who was blind and received his sight. They cast out the man who, when he received his sight, had a good word to say for Jesus Christ. This morning I brought you a message in which we went to the heart of some of these great spiritual issues. And Jesus Christ said, the servant is not above his Lord. If they've hated me, they're going to hate you. And you see it right here in this chapter just as clear as anything. Because they hated Christ, they hated a blind man who had his sight restored to him because he had a good word to say for Jesus Christ. And he became a witness and an obstacle which they could not gainsay or deny. All right, now let me take this and show it to you. And as we build it up, as you unfold it before you, see this beautiful story unfold with the hatred of the Son of God, the abuse of the blind man. And the climax of it all comes when Jesus Christ finds the blind man and Jesus Christ identifies himself as the Son of God. And the blind man receives the Son of God. And he receives spiritual sight. He's born again at this point. All right, now let's turn back. Verse 16. The Pharisees said, this man is not of God, speaking of Jesus, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. You know, one of these days I'm going to bring you people a sermon on the subject, there was a division among them because of him. I want to bring you a sermon on that subject. This whole Gospel of John is just full of it. Everywhere Jesus Christ went, he caused trouble. Greatest troublemaker the world's ever seen. Everywhere Jesus went, he caused division. He's caused more divisions on the face of this earth than any other person that ever walked the earth. And that's true. That's the testimony of Scripture. And there was a division among them. And so they said to the blind man, what sayest thou of him? And this is the question. This is the big question. This is the all-important question. It runs through this whole document. The Pharisees and the Jews in this passage wanted the young man to say something against the Son of God. What sayest thou about him? What is it you think about this particular one? And then we have the answer here. He says he is a prophet. Well, they didn't object to that very much. He could be a prophet. They're not objecting to them being a prophet so much. What they objected to is that he claimed to be the Son of God. What they objected to was that he claimed to be the Messiah. And they wouldn't accept that. So they could call him a prophet if he wanted to. That wasn't too bad as far as they were concerned. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Now here's a miracle, here's a wonder, here's a sign. Nobody can deny it. Except the Jews come along and they say, well, we don't believe he was blind. We don't believe it. We're going to nullify the force of this miracle. We're going to somehow remove the effect of that miracle from our midst by trying to recognize that he wasn't blind. Well, what did they do? We read in verse 18, they called his parents. And his parents didn't help him out at all. Parents didn't do a thing for the Jews. They knew that the Jews were against Christ. They knew that the Jews said they'd put him out of the synagogue if he followed Christ. And so all they did was to simply say that you could go ask this young man. He's our son, we know it. He was born blind, we can tell you that. But as to who did it and how it was done, we can't tell you. He's of age, you go ask him. So the Jews, in their problems and troubles, they ran into the parents, and all the parents could say was that he is ours, he was blind, and they testified to the thing that they wanted to eliminate. They wouldn't believe that he was blind. And so after they had called the parents and got no satisfaction out of them except a testimony that he was born blind. And beloved, you can't deny the testimony of a mother concerning her baby. Best witness in the world. So that aspect of their difficulty was removed. They couldn't possibly say that he wasn't born blind because his mother said he was. Then you turn in verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said, give God the praise. At least at this point, they know that he was born blind. His mother said so. And so they say, you give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Jesus Christ was a sinner. Jesus Christ was violating the Sabbath day regulations. And Jesus Christ had healed a man on the Sabbath day. And therefore, Jesus Christ was a sinner, and we know it, and you don't need to argue that point with us. You praise God. Don't praise this sinner that you say gave you your sight. You know what the young man said? One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see. Then said they unto thee, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Then notice this answer. Oh, beloved, this young man that was born blind and the Lord had healed, he saw the hatred, he saw the unbelief, he saw how they dealt with him. What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he said, I told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciple? Of course, he knew they wouldn't be his disciple. He knew they hated him. He knew they wouldn't have. Here they were examining his parents, and now examine him, come back a second time. And he says, I've told you already. How many times do you expect me to have to tell you? You won't hear me anyhow. Are you, man, trying to be one of his disciples? No, you're not trying to be one of his disciples. You're trying to destroy the impact of this miracle. You're trying to eliminate the evidence that's here beyond all dispute. I see. I was blind. I see. My mother told you I was born blind. And I know that here I am and that this one has done this great work for me. Are you going to be one of his disciples? Is that why you want to know? No, you want to know. And this is what he saw. They wanted him to do something or say something which would eliminate the impact of what Jesus had done for him. And beloved, I tell you tonight as a child of God, don't you ever in any way modify or in any way tone down what Jesus done for you. When Jesus Christ saves you, you give him the full credit for it. No matter how many Pharisees, how many Jews, how many hypocrites, how many employers or anybody else there is around you. You let the world know what Jesus has done for you. And when Jesus Christ opened the eyes of this man who had been born blind, he didn't have the instruments to see, this young man says, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see." And furthermore, this young man then proceeds to argue with them, and you have this next verse, and it is indeed a very beautiful verse. But before we get to that, they reviled. They reviled. And said, "Thou art his disciple." You see, that gives you the truth of what I've just told you. They weren't wanting to be the disciple of Jesus Christ. They weren't interested at all. They were trying to eliminate the Christ, to discredit the Christ, to push down the Christ, to make it possible they could just reject this Christ. But here was the miracle, and it stood. So they reviled him, and they said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." They separated Christ from Moses. You can't separate Christ from Moses. And it's our Lord Jesus Christ who said, "Had ye believed Moses, ye would believe on me, because Moses wrote of me." You cannot separate Abraham from Christ. You can't separate Moses from Christ. You can't separate David from Christ. You can't separate the Old Testament from Christ. You can't separate anything in this Scripture from the Son of God. It's his record. It's his book. And this message has been given unto us that we might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come on down to verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And furthermore, they didn't want to know from whence he came. They weren't going to listen to him. They weren't going to have anything to do with it. And they were determined that the Lord Jesus Christ would be disgraced. Now, this is what I want you to see, verse 30. The man answered and said, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." Why, you religious leaders ought to be the first ones to credit Jesus Christ with the good he's done. You members of the ecclesiastical hierarchy in Jerusalem, you ought to be the first ones to acclaim this miracle-working Savior instead of rejecting. Why? He said, "Here isn't a marvelous thing." What could it possibly be that this one who had opened the eyes of a man who was born blind, why can't you believe in him? Verse 33, "If this man were not of God, he could do." And the blind man that they're trying to discredit and whom they revile becomes the one who presses the truth, who stands upon the facts and presents unto them the Lord Jesus Christ. Now at this point, I want to show you something in this passage which is very, very important. When a man who's blind begins to get light, he not only loves the light he now possesses, but he wants more and he welcomes it when it comes. Now that's true. And I want you to see the man who was born blind, they reviled him, they're doing everything to discredit him, but he stood on the light which he had given him. He stood on it. And now he gets more. He begins to argue, and he says to them, "This is a wonderful thing. Since the world begun, nothing like this happened, like's happened to me. Why, this man who did this to me, he couldn't possibly be of any other source than God, or he couldn't have done this thing." And then verse 34, the Jews have had all they can stand of it. They're not going to take it anymore. They're insulted by the man. So they take him, and he cast him out of the synagogue. Throw him out. Now, what had he done to deserve being cast out? And another thing. What had this blind man done that he deserved to have the religious leaders there in Jerusalem throw him out? And another thing. Not a thing. Why, he'd just gotten his eyes opened. And when they asked him a few questions, he answered them honestly.
That's all. He had not done one single thing against the religious leaders. But they cast him out. They threw him out. Because he was giving credit to the one who had healed him and given him sight. And he wasn't going to go back on him. He wasn't going to deny. You know, this man's parents, we read here that they were rather cautious because they knew they were going to be thrown out of the synagogue. And they didn't get thrown out. They didn't get thrown out. They just said, he's our son. He was born blind. Who healed him? We don't know. And when they didn't cast any question one way or another upon the Son of God, they didn't catch him. They didn't get thrown out of the synagogue. The family was very cautious. He's our son, yeah. But who did it or how it happened, you go talk to him. Now if they had said, yes, we've talked to him, he's our son. We saw this one here by the name of Jesus that healed him. We've heard all these wonderful things about him. And he's a wonderful Savior. They didn't say that. They'd gotten thrown out of the synagogue right then and there. Because they'd already said they're going to do it. But the parents who just saw what God had done to their son were cautious. But the son to whom the Lord Jesus Christ gave the sight, he wasn't caught off. Says he did it. And anyone who can do a thing like this, he must be of God. So they throw him out. And it's what you do in relationship to Jesus Christ that costs you on this earth. You evade him. You go down some other street. You deny, and it won't cost you. But when you identify yourself with the Son of God as he's given to us in this blessed book, and you say, he saved me, I've been redeemed, I'm his, I'm going to serve him the rest of my life, I'll never deny his name, I'll never take his name in vain, I'll serve the Son of God and I'll be obedient to him, I'll go and worship without the camp, I'll meet with a little band of friends and people here and we'll worship God and I'll stand true to Jesus Christ to the end of the road. You take that attitude and see what happens to you. They cast this fellow out. He cast him out. Yeah, they threw him out. Wasn't that a spectacle? The whole town ought to be rejoicing. He got some help and got his eyesight back. And they're not even humanitarian, these beasts of these Jews. They weren't even happy the man had some relief for his affliction. Their hatred of the Son of God was so great that no matter what the Son of God did, they were blinded. And Jesus Christ said, I came into this world for judgment, that they which see might be made blind, and that they who are blind might see. Well, when the man was thrown out of the synagogue, what happened to him? Cast out. Did his mother and father come and get him? No, sir. They left him alone. Is there any evidence anybody else came around him? No. Just think of the consternation of that town. The Jews thrown him out. And here was the authority of Christ, the miracle of Christ. Here was the leaders of the synagogues. And they threw him out of the synagogue. Mother and father didn't come to him at all. They didn't dare go to him. Anybody who went to him been identified with him. Anybody picked up his cause and sought to defend him, they'd have been thrown out of the synagogue too. Beloved, when Jesus Christ said in the 8th chapter of John, ye seek to kill me, he knew murder was in their heart. He knew they hated him so. Oh, the most hated man that's ever walked this earth was Jesus Christ, beloved. And the most loved man that ever walked this earth is Jesus Christ. The ungodly in their blindness have always hated him. But the redeemed in their devotion have always loved him. And it's Jesus Christ. But this is the beautiful thing. What do you read? Jesus Christ heard that they had cast him out.
And when he had found him, when this blind man was cast out of the synagogue because of his loyalty to the one who had healed him, Jesus Christ went and found him. He sought him out. And I want to tell you people tonight that any time that you're cast out, that you suffer, that any time the troubles come to you from the hierarchy and the ecclesiastics in their unbelief and you're cast out, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ will seek you out and he'll find you. He'll look. And I want to testify to you people in this church tonight that that's exactly what God Almighty has done for me. And that's exactly what God Almighty has done for you. When you were cast out, he sought you out and he found you. And he says, I'll use you. You just stand by me and I'll take care of the rest of your life. And he has and he will. Now notice what he did to this young man. This young man, when he found him, he revealed himself to the blind man in all of his splendor. The Son of God has opened the eyes of the man physically, and the man now has been defending the Son of God for what he did. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he said to him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The first question the Jews asked him was, what do you think about this man? And now Jesus comes to him, he's cast out. He says, Dost thou believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord? Do you know what you have in this language here, these fine shades that take place? Who art thou, Lord? That's what Paul said on the road to Damascus, Who art thou? And then before he could catch a breath, he says, Lord! And he saw him as the Son of God. And at this point, the man asked the question, Who is he? Who is he? And then here, he sees, he begins to see, he's getting some light, he's getting more understanding. He says, Lord, that I might believe on him. And the young man is moving right up to the point where he's ready to believe. And Jesus Christ turned and said unto him, Thou hast both seen him. You saw me when I put the clay on your eye. I'm the one who did it. And it is he that now talks with you. The one speaking to you now is the one that you have seen with the eyes that I gave you. I gave you your eyes and you looked upon me. And you were looking to me and you wouldn't deny me. You wouldn't reject me. You wouldn't bow to the Jews and the Pharisees. Now that they've cast you out, I am the one that speaketh to you now, the Son of God. And now look at the next phrase. And he said, Lord, I believe. That's all. Lord, I believe. And he found the fullness of light. He found the fullness of sight in his soul. And what did he do? He fell down and he worshipped the Son of God. The Son of God, whom he worshiped. And then Jesus turned to this man who was physically blind and spiritually blind, but now who can see with his eyes and he can see with his soul. And he utters this great and glorious revelation. He says, For this purpose, he says, I came into the world for judgment. I came for judgment that they which see not might see. The blind man says, Yes, I understand that. That is I see now. And that they, he says, that they have seen, that they might be made blind. I understand. That's the Jews. They've gone blind.
If they weren't blind, they wouldn't have thrown me out. If they weren't blind, they wouldn't have reviled me. If they weren't blind, they wouldn't say, you're a sinner. If they weren't blind, they would have believed in the Son of God. Isn't that beautiful?
Beloved, may I say to you, as I expound this to you, Jesus Christ has to be the Son of God. There couldn't possibly be anyone else that could speak like this, that could present such depths of spiritual reality as he's done it. He is the Son of the living God. And the whole story of this chapter is the story of how a man who was without physical sight and a man who was without spiritual understanding first got his physical sight by a miracle, and second got his spiritual sight by a miracle. He came to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saved. And the whole story of this ninth chapter is how the Jews, who should have had sight and did have the prophet and did talk about Moses, they ought to have seen, but they became blind. And I tell you tonight, beloved, it's just as simple as that. You either see or you don't see. You either have the sight that God gives you, or you're blind in your sin. And the difference is Jesus Christ, that's all. The difference is the Son of God. When you thank God tonight that you see, John says, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I told these people this afternoon, why are we fighting? Why are we out? Why are we having the rallies? Why are we doing these things? So we can have the liberty in a country like this, so a man can get up and expound the ninth chapter of John, and you can see the difference between sight and between blindness. And what you need, beloved, is sight. To believe in the Son of God, I believe, Lord, trust him, know he's the Son of God. And then let him open your eyes and open your heart and open your spirit, and you'll get an understanding of these deep spiritual realities that are determined by the God of glory, who takes care of those who will trust him. And when you get cast out, beloved, because of him, when you get thrown out because of him, I don't care where it is, he'll find you. And when he finds you, he will reveal to you more of himself and of his glory. And you will believe. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank thee for the depths of the riches of an infallible record. We thank thee that we can see the shades of progress in this ninth chapter. We can see the depths of the darkness as the ungodly Jews reject the Son of God again and again and again. And finally, they sought to nail him to a tree. But tonight, in this 20th century, in the midst of the darkness and the sin all about, thou art giving light to the souls of men who will believe. And thou hast opened our eyes. And wilt thou help us, Lord, never, never to deny your name or to compromise the responsibilities which you've placed on us. And, O God, tonight, as we've seen this depth of spiritual reality in this passage, may it rejoice our hearts. Lord, we believe, and therefore we live. For Christ's sake, amen.